It's now time for your favorite guilty pleasure.
The E2 Books Show.
Check your innocence at the door and welcome two of the men your mama warned you about.
Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.
Welcome back to the E2 Books Show. It's just Scott and myself today. We ran out of people who were willing to show up on the show.
It was bound to happen. I'm just amazed that we had the run we did, really.
Exactly. It probably would have helped if we'd reached out to people to show up, to come on the show, too. Yeah. Apparently, you have to invite people on in order for them to...
I figured they'd be knocking at the door to get in by now.
But... Well, if I knew this was going to be work, they would have signed up for this. But no, there are reasons why we haven't gotten around to getting a guest for this week's show. Partly is that we've been busy on numerous fronts. First of all, Scott, are you announcing this yet? Or are you keeping it quiet?
Go right ahead.
Well, I'm not going to announce it. I'm not going to tell people your special secret.
No, I'm not going to announce it yet. Then.
Moving along. That is news you can all wait to hear about later. But no, there's something else we've been working on. Of course, we've been talking about it for what seems like many years now. Is our upcoming book, Arum, which is, it announced the title finally, Mayan Shadows. And yes. I am going to do a cover reveal here before too long, so we do have the cover set designed by the amazing David Behrens. And it is spectacular.
So everything he does is, but
exactly.
He just keeps getting better and better. So,
like, yeah, he's really nailed that thriller genre cover pretty well. And, tracks the market and all of that, so he knows what works, and I do believe this one does work.
Yeah.
Very, very pleased with it. But you need a book to put the cover on, of course, and that's what we've been working on. And Scott and I, we've worked on quite a few books, and I've actually stopped counting.
I was trying to count earlier while I was out with the dog. I was like, I give up. That's about how long I worked on it.
So, yeah, numerous books now. And this, I believe, is the first time that we've used an outline or a treatment in a more traditional sense. I think in the past we've maybe outlined what we've already done.
Yeah, we've done a lot of retro plotting, and we've used that app too, the plotter app, which also allows us to keep track of characters and locations and stuff like that. But you're right, it's always been kind of retroactively. Like, a lot of times we'll be about half to two-thirds of the way through, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'll go back and plot what we've already done, and if nothing else, it gives us a quick reference. If you're trying to remember someone's name who just popped into the room five chapters ago, but's now holding a machine gun to your head, something like that. So, yeah, we really never before have plotted out a whole book prior to starting on it. And this is also our first series that we've worked on right from the inception, too.
Right.
Everything else we've done was either yours, mostly yours, or something of mine. So that's making it a lot of fun for us, is that it's just, there's nothing there, to have to call back to yet. It's all what we're doing right now.
Yeah. So
unfortunately, sometimes one of us forgets that we have a treatment and he goes winding off in a new direction and we have to go, guess what? I'm cutting that whole chapter and starting over again.
Yeah, like I'll send something and I'm like, what do we do? And I was like, if only we had a map to follow.
I've printed out like five copies of it, depending on like where I'm working. If I'm like got the laptop in the bedroom and I'm watching a game or something. And so I got one in there. I got like three in the office. I got one in the living room. I never freaking look at them. Well, I just keep writing. I can do it. Don't you worry about a thing.
Well, that's the way we've pretty much always done it. Mm-hmm. And I do have to take some responsibility because one of the big reasons I'm, you know, kind of set on using the treatment really is, I guess, more of a treatment than an outline, is that I won't remember. Like the state that I'm in, my mind is in right now with everything that's been going on, I probably wouldn't remember what had happened. Wherein, you know, past right. projects that I've always been kind of stupid, but in past projects, I felt a little more with it. But now I feel like if I don't have something to refer back to that's somewhat concrete, right. I'm going to not know what the hell is going on, though.
Yeah. And also another thing is with, you know, our other things going on, we have really taken a long time on this. I mean, we generally can knock even a full length novel out in about a month, would you say, if we go pretty steady?
4 to 6 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been working on this. Like you said, it feels like years now. I mean, we've been talking about it since 2020.
I think people are starting to suspect it's just like an urban legend.
It's just a hoax, yeah. It's just a hoax. They went to the trouble of getting a cover designed and everything.
Hey, we take our practical joke seriously here. Well, you know, and in the past, I think I would have felt a lot more uncomfortable or worried, concerned about the length of time that it's taking us.
Right.
I don't really with it. Now, I definitely am. I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to get it done and out there, or at least get it done to the point where we can start working on the second book, because right. release dates right. have not been announced at all. But so yeah, I definitely want to get it done. It's time to get it done. But it's also been better for the waiting, I think.
I think so too. I think, you know, we haven't felt rushed. We haven't really put any pressure on ourselves except for me to stay to the storyline. And so, yeah. And, you know, I mean, we've kind of teased the public about it, but we haven't really blaringly announced yet, you know. So there's not like Lisa Badger with a bullwhip, you know, like she usually does. When we she never watches them live because it's like what, 1 a.m. when we go live for her. So
yeah, well, you would think a true fan would.
I know.
Stay up. You know? Sacrificers.
I think I said that when she said, you know, she can't stay up that late, and I'm like, yeah, well, sure, it's fine for me and Craig to come to England and go to the pub with you, but you won't even stay up and watch the show. But anyway.
It's a give and take business here, people.
You know, even, and I'm joking about that mostly, although she does do that all the time, but there hasn't really been that, you know, that fan anticipation because it's nothing they've seen before, you know. So now book two will probably have angry mobs outside the door every night going, when's it going to be done?
Because I'll be very disappointed if there isn't. Yes. Well, it's different in the way we've approached it. It's different in subject matter. It's a whole new series of characters. It's, you know, a related but kind of a new genre for us. It's mm-hmm. still thriller in nature, but there's some other aspects to it that are certainly new to me anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it is better for the waiting. We put a lot of time into it. Let it. You know, they talk about, you know, letting a book marinate for a little bit. Right. And we haven't really done that in the past.
No.
Partly because you and I have proven to be pretty proficient about getting ideas out there and knocking them out in a hurry.
Yeah.
I don't think ideas are our problem. Right. I think sometimes having too many ideas is our problem. And I'm sure there are probably writers out there, if they're watching this, they're like, rolling their eyes because right. you know, where do you get your ideas is one of the most common questions. That's never been the issue.
No, it's think. More like, how do I shut them off for 10 minutes?
<You know? laughs> Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that, and you know, figuring out which one of those ideas
is worth pursuing,
because that's right. the whole different subject. Mm. I know that, you know, Stephen King is just, you know, quoted as saying, I'm sorry,
Stephen who?
King, I think. Fling, Bing, I don't know, something like that.
Be an up and comer.
Yeah, no, I've heard a little bit.
Give him a bone, see if we can get him on the show one of these days, you know?
We'll look into it. Yeah. You know, we don't want somebody on the show who's going to drag us down. No, but
certainly. I mean, see. If he's a total noob, forget it.
But I've heard him say that, you know, he gets these ideas and he doesn't necessarily, and I'm probably misquoting or at least paraphrasing badly, said that if it doesn't stick with him, that it's not worth writing about. I think there's some truth to that, but my problem too, going back to ideas just fly through everything. My mind is like a sieve these days. Yep. So it's not a matter of what sticks around. It makes it worthwhile or proves its worthiness.
Right.
It's
nothing is sticking around.
That's nothing is sticking around. I don't know what day it is for that matter. So,
well, here's a funny thing. I was sitting in the office yesterday or the day before, and I got an idea for a poem. And I was so desperate to write it down that I actually put it on my credit card bill. You might be a writer if.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because I'm talking about poetry, because for me, that is the most fleeting of the idea pool. When I get a poetry idea, if I'm not near something to write, and they always come when I'm walking the damn dog. Always. So there's never anything nearby to write with, but I do have the voice memo app on the front of my watch, so I can do that now. But I've probably lost 50 poems since June, just walking along, and wow, that's really good. Wow, that was really good.
That was really good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating for me. Say an idea, I go to bed at night and I lying there waiting to go to sleep. I have a good idea. Don't write it down. In the morning, I don't remember it, but I do remember that it was a good idea. See, that's what I know. I just didn't remember anything about it. That would be
for awesome. Yep.
What you need to do is train Miles to take messages. Like, Miles, take a note.
Miles' dictation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So bottom line is, yes, it's still in the works. And there was a little, you know, maybe a little miscue, whatnot, but that's only to be considered. We've had miscues in pretty much every book. They've just been of a different nature. Like, how many times have I sent, just completely blown up the entire project to a much greater
degree? I have an idea.
But it's going to require changing everything.
So we're going to start from chapter one. And everyone is a penguin now.
If only my ideas were actually that good. So that's just part of it. My excitement for the project has not waned at all.
No, not at all.
So I'm very, very pleased with it and the direction it's going. And I don't know how long of a series it'll end up being.
About a million books. A million books series.
I think that's the minimum. Yeah,
especially once we get this first one done, we'll get our technique down. We'll get, you know.
I was gonna say we're gonna have to for a million in the series. We're gonna have to speed up the release of these books a little bit.
Just, I mean, I don't want to put pressure on us, but we're probably gonna need to do about 100,000 a year for 10 years or something.
I'm getting a bit too tired at this rate. You know, I'm not gonna be in any shape to do that for sure.
What volume are we up to? What volume? Okay, I'll turn it up.
Turn up the volume. The last 999,999 books are written from the retirement home.
Yes.
All featuring characters who are in the nursing.
Like Big Gums, Bertha, and all those folks.
Well, I mean, this is just really, though, in all seriousness, part of the fun of, I know, have I seen our show? Of, you know, co-writing, you know. And at least if you're writing by yourself and you come against something like this, you have nobody to bounce the idea off of or to get on a podcast and joke about. Yeah. On your own, you can sit in your own little pit of despair all alone in the dark and drink whiskey.
Lots and lots of whiskey. Although for me today, it's pure aqua, juicy peach, sparkling water.
Well, that's what it says on the bottle.
Yeah. The bottle of what I filled it with said vodka.
Spicy peach vodka.
There probably is one. Every kind of vodka in the world now, you know?
Yeah, you know, there was a time when I was kind of into craft beers and whatnot, and some of the less so now because I've realized they're all terrible.
Right.
I should say I've come to allow myself to admit that they were terrible. I sort of felt obligated to be on the train, but now I'm just like, you know, I don't actually like any of these. Far too hoppy. The hoppier, apparently, the better with craft microbrew beer. And it's just like, why? It tastes like ass. Anyhow,
ass.
But some of these breweries would, you know, branch out a bit and do vodka or whatnot. And they would come up with ridiculous combinations of stuff that nobody ever would want to drink.
Right.
Because that's lime, not
lime, lime and limestone.
Aged in limestone barrels. That kind of stuff. It makes no difference whatsoever. And the idea doesn't seem to be, you know, deliciousness.
No. It's
what is the most creative.
Right, right.
And, you know, not terribly long ago, that's kind of cool and creative and interesting. Now I've aged about 40 years in the last 10. Because I am such an old, like, get off my lawn person now. I just, like, give me whatever. Like, what is the beer that you drank? The Labatt?
Labatt, like?
I like that. Just give me a basic thing, you know?
Yeah. I don't need pretentious anymore.
No.
You know, I don't.
I don't have time for that shit.
I mean, there's a little microbrewery kind of, you know, tap house in Baldwinsville where I live, and I've gone there a couple of times, and one time they had like a kind of citrusy beer and I enjoyed that. Everything else I've ever had there was just dreadful. Although they're fine people, and I'm sure there are many people who feel differently than I do. But I'll take a Labatt, you know. I'll take a Rot Gut whiskey. I don't care. What do you got?
Yeah, don't bring me this little jar of whatever out on a doily.
Yeah,
and really. Expect me to exclaim over it, or at least not positively exclaim over it. Like, yeah,
I ain't drinking anything I gotta lift my pinky for.
There was a time I was going to beer festivals and whatnot, and which sounds really fun in theory. And it wasn't not fun, but I wouldn't enjoy 95% of what I spent my tokens on.
Yeah.
And at some point you have to wonder why.
Yeah.
Plus the one that I would go to up in Michigan, they would have it in February, I believe, outside. And again, why?
Why? Why?
Do they not know what state they're in? Do they not know what month it is?
Understand. Or just an asshole, which is, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. I don't know if it's like this where you are. You guys have decent winters, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's there's an element of like, northern people who kind of revel in the hardship a little bit.
Right.
I don't know what it is. It's
I think they're like leftover flagellants from the Middle Age, you know. Except instead of whipping themselves now, it's like they're shoveling.
It's from the old. They brought it over from the old country.
Yep.
Yeah, I see that a lot in like Midwest states, but like at least northern Midwest states that I've been on. You know, Iowa is a bit that way. Michigan is definitely that way. Where like, whoa, isn't this terrible? They say with a smile on their face.
And it could be worse tomorrow.
Right. And they sort of expect it's going to be worse tomorrow. and if things are kind of good, it makes them nervous because they know that it's not going to last.
Something's coming. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's too good. The other shoe is about to drop. And I feel like sometimes they think if they preemptively make themselves miserable, right, then they can escape whatever misery the universe might be planning for them. So at least they have some control over the misery.
Right. At the very least, they can come with, you know, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Right. You know, single digit death toll, that ain't nothing.
Oh, it's so funny. Garrison Keillor used to, I think, talk about some of this stuff.
Mine.
They're the Minnesotan Lutherans. Just, oh, funny, funny, good stuff. But you know, here in, of course, in Iowa, we tempt fate by, you know, we love our storms. Uh-huh. And, you know, every time a storm rolls in, we, most normal people run to their basements to wait it out, and we go outside.
You guys are all up against the plate glass window, right?
Wow. No, we're outside on the porch. Hey, hon, come look at this. She's a coming in fierce.
Oh, you know what I have to do? I have to show everybody a person that I've met. Let me find the right one here. Dun, 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 dun. I know that I know this person. Ah, there it is. This is me and my granddaughter.
Ta-da! See, that's the news I was hoping you would share, but you said you weren't going to share.
I know, but I couldn't. I couldn't.
I was done. See, now I don't care about anything except the new baby, and it's not even my grandkid. But now, if it doesn't have news about the baby, then...
Then look, why are we even recording?
No, why... Yeah, now, exactly.
Here's my honest answer. When you first said that, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Oh.
And so I was like, do I bluff my way through and hope he like gives it away?
No, I can't tell that. It's top secret.
I can't tell you that story.
Doesn't know what the hell is going on.
But yes, my son, Evan, and my daughter-in-law, Brittany, have had a daughter, Amelia Christine Varanger. Born the 17th, I believe, at exactly midnight. So Angelique Lamour asked me, is she going to celebrate two birthdays now, since midnight is technically the end of the day and 1 second after is the next? And my reply was, of course, she will be so spoiled, she will think she has 365 birthdays. So.
No, that is awesome. And yeah, I got into it, started talking. I was like, well, I don't even know if they've announced it yet.
Well, the kids finally have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't prompt you without then, you know.
Right. Basically so, doing it for me.
This is why we should probably do show prep.
Well, we always do when there's a guest involved.
Because right, yeah.
Potential to look stupid is so much higher when there's a third person, you know.
Well, and
people come into the Craig and Scott episodes knowing it's going to be stupid, so there's no
right.
That's
worries, a given.
No pressure, right?
You know, but we don't necessarily want to drag a innocent person down into the level of stupidity that is highly likely when it's just, you know, you and me.
Yeah. Different atmosphere. Right. Altogether. No need for professionalism now.
Right. Now I wish, now I'm thinking, well, we should go back and maybe editing and put the baby stuff at the front, because there's no way anybody's going to last all the way to minute 25. And if you have, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we probably, well, you know, you're a master editor, so it'll just be like, are you going to announce? No, yes, here she is.
Yeah,
I have like a little graphic that went oops or something like that.
Yeah, better yet, we'll just use it as a strategy and say stay to the end to find out Scott's amazing news.
There you go.
Then at least make people fast forward the last couple of minutes.
Nope.
Alrighty. Nope. Well, this has been good.
Nope. Ah, no.
boring, stupid, dumb, offensive.
Baby.
Well, I told Scott, and we'll get off out of your guys' living room here in a sec, but I told Scott that my new favorite thing is applying words and phrases to the new baby. He'll send a picture, and the minute we both make up whatever the baby is thinking at that moment, which right. I can't share with you exactly what we've come up with so far, but we find it hilarious.
Yes, you would find it probably prosecutable. So,
well, let's just say the baby has a good vocabulary.
Yes, she does, and she's already got a good career as a hit woman. So,
oh, this poor child, I tell you. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your patience with Mayan Shadows. It is on the way. We are working on it. More news when we have it, and cover reveal coming up soon. So stay tuned, everybody.
The E2 Books Show. E2 Books Show by Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.